So we pray that our time together this time and in the conversations that follow can be fruitful, and that we can be real with you, not fake, genuine, with open hearts, not excluding or disqualifying ourselves. Lord, bless your people. Bless those that you love. Bless those that you've died for. And we trust you for this and rely on your faithfulness. And we pray with the boldness that Jesus gives us. Amen. If you've got the sun in your face and you want to move, it might be a good idea. It's pretty hard to focus, isn't it, when the sun's in your face? You're all right? You all right? Okay. So our theme is a different life, and the question is, can your life be different? Can your life be something valuable and precious? And many people thank God for you and for what you've done for them. Is that going to be the story of your life? That's the issue. So, you know, we are familiar with the message to believe in the Lord Jesus. And then when we make that commitment to him, we're baptized to testify that we have died with him and arising again to newness of life. So that's the beginning of the journey. And some of you have made that beginning and some of you have not yet made that beginning. I'm speaking to everybody. The question is, after that, and then what? What is the life that we're called to live? What comes? We make this confession, we believe in Jesus, then what? And, you know, maybe you've got some ideas. Maybe you could, if I asked you, describe the Christian life in one or two words, or one or two or three words, what would immediately come to your mind? Or what would the picture that comes to your mind, perhaps the Christian life, what is it? You'd immediately picture a meeting and singing hymns, or immediately think of somebody preaching, or what would you think of? What is the life that you're called to? This is really what we want to consider this morning. So to those who have begun this journey, we're saying to you, this is the life that you're called to. Don't fall short. And to those who have not begun this journey, we're saying, this is the life that the gospel calls you to. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. So I'm going to ask three questions. What are my three questions? The first question is, who are you as a Christian? What is a Christian? Who are you? But then the second question is, well, what do you want in life? What's your goal? What do you want? And the third question is, how are you willing to live? Because it's one thing to say, I want, you know, somebody might say, I want to be a soccer star. You know, I want to play in the World Cup and then go back to bed. Well, you know, you can say, I want that, but how are you willing to live? Are you willing to live according to your desire? Which means you have to get out of bed and get training, you know, if that was your ambition. So that's what the meaning is of how are you willing to live. So the first question is, who are you? And so what is a Christian? If you're a Christian, then you're a person who has discovered the Lord Jesus. And when I say discovered, it doesn't mean that you've just heard about him for the first time, but it means that you've realized that the Lord Jesus is real, is truth, and is speaking to you and calling you. That's what it means to discover him. It's not simply a case of, oh yeah, yeah, you know, I've heard that. But it's that realization that this concerns me. I'm involved. I have to choose. It's as if, I don't mean it's literally like this, but it's as if he is standing there and calling you, and you are kind of frozen and saying, I've got to decide, am I going to go or not? It's like that. So you've discovered the Lord Jesus, but the Christian is also somebody who's bowed down to him. That is, they've acknowledged that he is the Lord and that they've bowed before him. In fact, baptism is like a picture of that, isn't it? It's, he told me to do this because he said it, I'm doing it. It's obedience, it's submission, it's bowing to him. And this person who has discovered the Lord and bowed to him is then sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that idea of being sealed is the word comes from an idea where there's a pile of stuff and somebody's purchased that, but he hasn't yet sort of taken delivery, and he puts a mark on it saying, this is mine, I own this. And everybody knows, oh, that one's sold, a guy's bought that one. That's the idea of sealed. So you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, which means that the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And effectively, that means the Lord is saying, you are mine. Just like a father says to a child, you are mine. You are now part of my family. He's sealed by the Holy Spirit. And this person, because he's discovered the Lord and bowed and been sealed by the Holy Spirit, this person is known and loved and called. Known and loved and called. What a wonderful privilege that is. And if we break that up a little bit and say, the person is known, which means everything is known. Your past is known. Every secret thing, every thought, every action is known. And your present is known, your circumstances, your family situation, everything is known. And your future is known also by the Lord who loves you. Everything is known. So, you know, it's the old story. I meet somebody and think, oh, what a nice person. You know, this person is a friend of mine and we're friends. And then a little bit later, I discover something about them and think, whoa, I don't know whether I want to be with this person. You know, I didn't know, but God knows. And if once, even once, we've tasted his love, that's love with full knowledge of all that we are, all that we've been, and all that we will be. Full knowledge is very comforting. It's wonderful to be known. But we're also loved. And this love is perfect, unchanging. It is forever. And we are loved despite everything. You know, you could think of many reasons, perhaps, why you may not be loved, why you have grieved God, why you have done things that you're ashamed of, and why you feel that probably the Lord is fed up with me and he's, you know, said, no more. But of course, that's not God. That's man. That's not God. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And we've been loved even before we were born. Extraordinary, wonderful. Loved forever and loved despite all that we are. And this is not an excuse to say I can do what I like because he'll love me anyway. No, no. But it is enormously comforting to know that we are loved and that we can, when we fall down, get up again and be reconciled. And we are called. We are known, we are loved, and we are called. And what are we called to? We're called to the wisdom of God. We can partake of His wisdom. We're called to knowledge of that which is eternal, not just stuff in the world, but eternal things. We're called to live a fruitful life. We're called to an adventure in life. Who likes adventure? A couple up the back there do. That's good. We're called to an adventure in life, and we're called to joy. Now, I don't know if I said to you, you know, I said to you in the beginning, you know, what picture comes into your mind when you think of the Christian life? Do you think of it as being known by God and loved by Him who knows you so perfectly? And do you think of the excitement, the joy that lies in front of you because you're His and that you're called into a life which is not tedious and boring and grey, but it's a full-colour life? And it's a life of adventure. Why is it a life of adventure? Well, we're going to talk about that a bit later on, but it's a life of adventure because we're going to walk, we're going to live this life by faith. We're going to walk in trusting God, and that is an adventure. So, known, loved, called. What a privilege. Who wouldn't want this? Who says, I don't want to be loved? Nobody. We might not say it out loud, but inwardly, we all want to be loved. Of course we do. And we're made to be loved. And God loves. But we've got things that we're ashamed of. But He knows that and still loves. And He's set before us a life which is rich and wonderful if you dare to live it. So, if I am known, then I can always trust in God's faithfulness because He knows all that I am. And when I fail, and when I fall, and when I'm ashamed of something that I've done, I know that He knows already, and I can go back to Him as a loving Father, admit my failure, my sin, and be restored. I can always trust in His faithfulness. He will never be unfaithful. I know, as is man who's 98, and he came to the Lord, I think, when he was 11, 12 or 13, something about that age. And he says, you know, I've known the Lord for over 80 years. I've failed Him many times. He's never failed me. That's his story. After so many years, we can always trust in the faithfulness of God. If I'm loved, then I know that the Lord will not ask of me more than I can give. He's not cruel. You know, a father might give to his child something to do that kind of stretches them a bit, but he's not going to give them the impossible task and then blame them for not doing it. It's going to be measured and just right. And he, you know, I said to a group of people once, how many people believe that God loves you? And all the hands went up. And I said, how many people are willing to say to the Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do? And hardly any hands went up. Why? Because they weren't really sure that his love was real. And that if he loves you truly, you can afford to obey him. He's not going to lead you into some dreadful thing. He won't ask for you of you more than you can give. He loves you. And if I'm called, that means the door's open for me. I'm invited. I'm welcome. The door's open. And it means that he's called me and he knows me and he wants me to inherit everything that he has for me. So the way is open for me to reach everything that he has for me. I'm known, I'm loved, I'm called. That's who I am. So that's the foundation, that's the beginning of the life that we're called to. It begins with, who am I? Where do I stand? I stand in the love of God and in the purpose of God to which he's called me. But then that's you know, what we've spoken about is God, what the Lord has in his heart for you. Now the question is, well, what's in your heart? What do you want? But first, we need to understand this. The Christian life is not simply going to church and being a nice person. That is not the Christian life. To truly think of the Christian life, you've got to kind of put out of your mind going to church. And you've got to think a much bigger picture. Because the Christian life changes everything. We don't live this life as if it was a hobby that we just use to fill in our spare time. That's not how we live this life. It is everything. It affects every part of our life. We don't have, this is my Christian life and this is my school life. Or this is my Christian life, but I've stopped that now because I'm studying. None of that. Everything, waking or sleeping, everything at home or at school or at work or whatever we're doing, with our friends, with our family, and when we're by ourselves, everything is impacted by the fact that we are the Lord's. There's no separation. Our life is not a hobby. And the Christian life is not a sprint. It's not, I'll try it for a week and see how we go. It's a whole life and much more. So, you know, when we embrace this life, we come out of the meeting, so to speak, and we look at the sky. We look at the vastness of heaven and earth, and we say, this is what I'm called to. My whole life, everything, is for him. So, what do you want then? Do you want to know and to serve the invisible God? He is invisible, but he's real and there. Do you want to be one who knows him and serves him? Do you want to be filled with the wisdom of heaven? Do you hunger and thirst for that greater knowledge and wisdom to live this life? Not just to sort of drag through the world influenced by the influences, but rather be influenced from heaven and learn his wisdom. And do you want to be a blessing to your family, whether it be at this point your brothers and sisters and your parents, or later on, your husband, your wife, your children? Do you want to be a blessing to the church of God? And I don't mean a meeting, but I mean the church of God throughout the world. And do you want to be a blessing to the world itself? What's in your heart? How do you want to live? That's the question. And you might say, nah, I don't want to serve God. I just want to do what everybody else does. You know, I just want to drag along and just be one of the crowd and follow the crowd along the broad way. You say, nah, I just want to have lots of money and lots of friends. I don't need heaven's wisdom. That'll do. Nah, I just want to be happy and travel and have fun. I don't want to be a blessing to anybody. I just want to, you know, do my own thing. It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. If there's a desire in your heart that says, no, I don't want to be normal. I want to be super normal. I want to live a life which is rich and full. Then you're called to this life. So the issue is, what do you want? And that's a really important question. It's a heart issue. And it is a decision that you have to make. There's a number of examples in the scripture. Joshua, when he was old and about to die, he said to the rest of Israel, choose this day who you are going to serve. But he said, as for me, I've made up my mind. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day. And then there's the account of Elijah. When Elijah thought he was the last man standing, he was the only believer in God and faithful. And there were hundreds of these people, pagan prophets, opposed to him. And he challenged Israel and he said, how long are you going to go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And if Baal, this idol, is God, well, go with him. Choose. What are you going to do? If the Lord is God, don't just mumble something about him. Follow him. Choose. Take a stand. Set your direction. The path is dividing. Which path are you going to go down? Which road are you going to take? And when Jesus was speaking, many of the disciples said, oh, this is too much. We can't understand. They keep talking about these things. I don't get it. I don't understand. And Jesus said to his disciples, will you also go away? So many were gone away. Will you also go away? And Peter's answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have known and believed. We've believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So the question is, if you reject Christ and say, no, I'm not going to go that way. If you choose, even though you've already professed faith in Christ, but you say, no, I'm just going to live an ordinary life. I'm not going to be too extreme. If you choose that way, where will you go? Where will you find this life in its fullness and its riches and its wealth? Where will you find it anywhere else? You know there is no other way. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Is there anyone else? Is there anything else that offers you so much? Okay. We are, when we discover the Lord, we're very blessed. Something in our heart responds and says, I want that. I'm scared. I'm nervous. But I do want it. I want to know God. I want to live a good life. I want to live a life that's worth living. I don't want to be sort of, you know, just wasting my everything, just following the crowd and doing whatever the manipulators have got in store for me, how they're going to manipulate me, what fashion they're going to throw in front of me to spend my money on. I don't want to live like that. I want God. I want to know Him. Then the question is, how are you willing to live? So, the Christian life, Paul summed it up like this: faith, hope, and love. These three things exist. These are the three elements that make up a Christian life. And he says the greatest of these is love. So the first is faith. It's a challenge to live differently. It's God's intention and design that we live by faith, because it's the means by which our hearts will be changed. It's a different way of living. Everybody else is listening to what is, you know, the popular thing, or what's being beamed out. They're hearing with their ears the latest song, the latest podcast, the latest movie, whatever it is. They're hearing all that and living according to that. But we're called to live differently, to hear the voice of God and to trust Him and to walk with Him. And that life is an adventurous life. We're called to live with hope. Hope means something much better is coming, and it's definitely coming. It's not, it might come. No, no, no. It's definitely coming. Something much better is coming, and this is the hope that I have. You know, later on, some of us will be standing out the front waiting for our parents to come and pick us up. You're standing there with your bag packed, ready to go, because you know they're coming. You know, you've got ready, you know they're coming. It's a hope. It's a sure hope. We're called to a life of adventure, to be always moving forward, pushing ahead to more and more and more. That's the hope. Whatever your Christian life is now, and it may be good, but whatever your Christian life is now, it can be better. And that hope must fill you. And if you haven't found Christ yet, be assured your life can be so much better. And we're called to love. To love and to be loved. It may not be something that you think is really important right now, but it's going to be. We're called to this, which, as we said before, is, you know, if this is the thing that will deeply, deeply satisfy you and make you the blessing to the world. So, Paul said in Corinthians, don't you know that if people are running in a race, there might be so many runners, they all run, but only one gets the prize. There's only a first prize in this race that he's talking about. And he says, run like you want that prize. Run to win. Now, the point about that is not that we're competing with one another. The point is we're putting our all into it. And so what he said to the believers is, run to win. And he himself said, you know, I forget what's behind, and I'm straining forward. I'm looking forward. I want this adventure. I'm pressing on for the goal. That's hope being expressed in life. And that's like the adventure to which we're called. And to quote somebody else, Count Zinzendorf, who was a very rich young man when the Lord got hold of him. And Zinzendorf said famously, "I have one passion. It is He. It is He alone." Zinzendorf was, he started a mission which sent thousands of people out into the world preaching the gospel. Extraordinary lives people lived. And he was the beginning of that work. And because of his wealth and because of his position, he gave everything that he had and used it for this end. And this was the character of his life. I have one passion. We often hear people talk about that nowadays. You know, I've got a passion for this and a passion for that. Yeah, sure. One thing. Okay, so how are you willing to live? How are you willing to live? And this is the adventure. This is what we're called to. We're called to a life of faith. And there's a picture of this. And there's something, there's a message here. Now we know the story in Matthew chapter 14, how the disciples were sent away and they went in their boat and they were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It was in the dead of night and the wind was against them and the waves were up there and they were struggling hard. And then they saw the Lord coming to them, walking on the water. And he approached the boat and they cried out. They thought it was a ghost or something, you know. A lot of these guys were fishermen. They know something about the Sea of Galilee, but they had never seen this, a man walking out to them on the water. Now, in the boat were the apostles, the 12. But there was one apostle who said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Look at that. That wasn't John. That wasn't Andrew. That wasn't Thomas. That was Peter. And Peter said, "This, I don't know what the other apostles thought." You know, they might probably turn around and said, "Peter, are you crazy? You know, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." What a heart. And what did Jesus say? "Don't be silly, Peter." No. The Lord said, "Come." Because I think it delighted him. It rejoiced him. This boldness. You know, if you're a fisherman, there are certain rules that you follow. Rule number one is don't get out of the boat. Stay in the boat. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you walking on water, tell me to come." And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. What do you think of that? I think that the Lord Jesus loved that. He loved that in Peter because he was bold and he was in for adventure and he was willing to get out of the boat. The other guys are hanging on the edge of the boat, you know, and Peter climbs over the edge and walks on the water. Question: where are you? Are you hanging onto the boat or are you willing to get out and walk on the water? This is what faith is. Faith is, as it were, pictured here. It's walking on water. It's trusting in Him and only Him. And this is the boldness that the Lord calls for in us, in all of us. This boldness to trust, to be willing when He says to go, to go. When He says to go and do this, go and do it. You're saying, oh, I don't think I can. But has He called you to do it? Well, get out of the boat and walk on the water and go with Him and do it. That's the calling. That's the adventure we're called to. That's the faith we're called to. So let Peter be our inspiration. Yeah, sure. Peter suddenly took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind and the waves and so on. But the Lord was there for him. That's not important. Peter learned something, but Jesus called him to come, and he came. He got out of the boat. And I just want to encourage you to think like that. You know what your boat is that keeps you safe and comfortable. And maybe it's time for you to choose to get out of that boat and trust Him. So we had three questions. Who are you? What do you want? And how are you willing to live? And what we need now is three answers from you. Signed off. So you could write that in the book. Three questions, three answers. This is my answer to each of those questions. Yep, I know who I am. I know that I'm known and I'm loved and I'm called. What do you want? Are you going to say what Paul said, what many other people have said? And are you willing to get out of the boat and follow Him, believe Him, trust Him? So these three questions, three answers. You have to choose. You can't ignore this. Well, you can, but at your own, at great cost to yourself. Why ignore it? So, such a glorious offer. Such a blessing you're called to. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that You would work in the hearts of each one of us, and that we would deeply, quietly, personally think about what we've heard and what Your calling is and respond. Oh Lord, draw out what is needed in the hearts of each one. We pray Your blessing, Lord. We pray Your blessing upon each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.